Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
Could there be a big sell-off after the election?
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Election jitters have pulled the markets down the past 2 weeks, and questions persist about how stocks will perform the rest of the year in the wake of the election. It looks like history may be on the side of the bulls. Let's get some perspective from Ryan Dietrich, Senior Market Strategist at LPL Financial. Ryan, this election season has been like no other. You don't think there will be a big sell-off no matter whether Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton wins?
Well, that's right, Charlie. Now, when you get into history, if you take a look, you can throw out the party that wins. But the bottom line is November and December are historically two of the strongest months. And we broke it down actually by presidential cycle. And if you look at an election year, like we obviously are right now, the S&P 500 was up 2.5% on average those 2 months and higher 75% of the time. Now, as you just alluded to, though, this is an election year like none other. Clearly, if you look at what's going on, the masses do seem to think that Hillary is going to win. And if Donald Trump were to win, that could throw a little bit of a curveball. So could we see a downside volatility if that were to be the case? We think so. Maybe 5%, maybe up to 8%. But we don't think it's going to be the start of a major correction. And it could just be near-term volatility and then kind of a bounce back higher. So it's not the start of the big bear market that some people seem to think it is, but all in all, maybe just normal volatility. But historically, these last 2 months, regardless of who wins, is usually still pretty strong.
You also broke it down by looking at the previous month's low daily close. I wish you would go into that. That history is rather fascinating.
That's right. It is actually, as we talked about, November, December historically are strong. But here's where things get really interesting. If you look at the low close for the S&P 500 in the month of October, which in this case was actually the last day of October, the S&P closed at 21.26. And then you look out to November. And the question I asked myself was, how often does the month of November, so at the end of November, does the month of November close beneath that low in October? In other words, a new lower low. Well, incredibly, if you go back 66 years, back to 1950, only 5 times did the month of November close beneath the lows in October. So clearly very, very rare. Take it out one more month. How often does December close beneath the closing low in the month of November? Only one time, going back to 1950, did December close beneath the lows of November. So these are just other little stats to consider that say historically, yes, you can have volatility, but a major sell-off, a major correction that lasts a long time, history would say probably not the case.
Ryan, if there is a pullback, how big or small do you think it would be?
Sure. Well, again, when we looked at this, and historically speaking, during an election year, the average pullback on the S&P 500 in the months of November and December from the close in October was right about 3.3%. So, you know, could some type of a correction be like that? It could be. Now, let's not forget, the S&P was down 1.8% just after the first couple days of the month of November. So there has been a little bit of a pullback, obviously, ahead of the election. But then you look at median pullbacks. The median pullback is actually just about 1%. That's skewed by a couple big corrections. But, you know, the median is a good way to look at things. So that says not much of a correction. But again, as we alluded to earlier, this is an election almost like no other election. And should, you know, Trump kind of surprise the masses, of course we think there could be a little bit more downside volatility. But again, probably more of a buying opportunity than anything as we look into it. Because again, look at this. We're ending the earnings recession right now. You know, there's a lot of positives on the economic front, best GDP print in 2 years. I think the economy continues to look strong, and all the big corrections we've seen historically During these historically strong months, usually have been in 2000 and 2008, those election years. What were happening there? Well, the economy was clearly a much bigger issue. It wasn't so much the election, it was the economy. So to us, the economy still looks strong, and that should provide a backdrop to potentially higher equity prices after the volatility settles.
Do you think a lot of strategists are worried about the makeup of Congress, for instance, a Democratic president along with Democratic-controlled Congress or a Republican-controlled Congress? A lot of observers prefer gridlock.
That's correct. I mean, the gridlock historically has been much better for markets. You don't want any one party potentially to have too much power one way or the other. And that's kind of the way things are looking right now. Like we, you know, could have the Democratic president with the Republicans could at least controlling the House, maybe even the Senate, according to some of the other recent data. So that would provide that good level of gridlock and those checks and balances that historically have been rather strong. But again, you know, if you want to get specific, very small sample sizes, even going back to the 1900s, there's only been so many times this has happened. So, you know, you could argue some of this is almost random that we've seen better times when so-and-so's in power, worse times when so-and-so's in power. Again, to us, it comes back to the economy, and the economy continues to actually be, it looks like, accelerating. You know, we've said this is actually the best economy an incoming president has had since Clinton in 1992, 1993, which is a very positive sign regardless of who's going to be the next president. The economy's looking pretty good here.
Ryan, it seems like market sentiment has been rather negative in the days and weeks leading up to the election. Is that how you see it?
We absolutely do, Charlie. When you look at market sentiment, you know, some levels of it are showing the same amount of fear that we saw actually right ahead of the Brexit vote. For instance, the AAII poll that looks at bulls and bears, lowest number of bulls since right before the Brexit vote. Now, that's just a sentiment poll. You know, what are people doing with their money? Well, incredibly, we've seen a record 35 straight weeks of outflows from domestic mutual funds. So people are taking money out of the mutual funds. They're very bearish in these sentiment polls, looking at put-to-call ratios, a lot of skepticism in the options, derivatives market. All of these things, they say what we know. The S&P just had its first nine-day losing streak since December of 1980, only a handful of times that we've seen losing streaks like that. So there's a lot of fear, and it's fear of the unknown. This election season has definitely worked people up. But, you know, what happens when you get a lot of negativity? If the end of the world doesn't come, if the economy continues to improve, earnings continue to improve. Really, who the president is, of course, that's important. But there are some other factors that can be just as important, if not more important. With all this negativity out there, it could be a potential positive for, from a seasonality point of view, to have that nice end of year surge if all the bad things so many people are predicting don't happen. And we, at this time, we don't think those are going to happen. It could be a plus.
Ryan Dietrich, Senior Market Strategist at LPL Financial. Thank you very much for joining the podcast.
Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.